Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Jumping off an hour or two, welcome aboard here on Sports Talk this Thursday edition. Mike Dettillier, Christian Garrick, right to our Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text lines. Drew Brees, former Saints quarterback, in a few moments will join us. Big John and Metairie on our Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text lines. Go ahead, Big John. You're on WWL.
Hey, Christian. Hey, Mike. How y'all doing? Christian, let me just say what I have to say, and then I'll listen to y'all. First off, I'm going to ring it to Bobby Hebert. I know he's not there today, but I heard him on the air saying about Jameis Winston, trying to protect him a little bit, saying give him time. Look, the bottom line is this. Jameis Winston come out of camp as the number one pick, bust, they got rid of him. He come over here, Sean Payton got out of here as fast as he could because he knew Jameis couldn't play. Then Jameis gets in here, one play from being 0-3. This guy can't read a coverage. He cannot go to the right receivers. He can't throw a ball. All he wants to do is take one look and run. Guys were wide open in these three games. If Andy Dalton was in there, I promise you, he could have done any worse. He'd probably be 2-1 at this point, if not 3-0. Jameis Winston has got to go. He's got to go. It don't matter who you put in there. Put somebody.
Big John, I think you're going to get your wish this Sunday. I don't think Jameis is going to play. He missed.
I don't think he's going to play. I think it's going to be Dalton. It's going to be Dalton's show.
What do you think about it? Well, do you think Jameis Winston ought to be a starting quarterback right now? He can't start no in the league. He's horrible. What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, here's the thing, Big John. And we get some of these people calling. Oh, it's the play calling. My thing, yeah, the same guy that handled the play calling about Alvin Kamara, the same guy who helped designate the plays to be thrown to Reggie Bush, Pierre Thomas, Darren Sproles, Mark Ingram, and Kamara before he forgot how to set up plays for Kamara. Come on, that's not on the play caller. But they got people that'll back up. You know, it's the play calling. Come on, we all know that's not the case. But listen, they got hard headed people out there. They want to blame everybody else but the individual doing it. Bottom line.
Big John, thanks for the phone call.
It's definitely not the play call, and there is no doubt about that. It is Jameis Winston. He cannot read a coverage. He comes up, in his first read, he looks, then he wants to take off or run backwards or run to the side, and then he overthrows somebody on a run. This isn't Patrick Mahomes. That's why Sean Payton bailed out of here. Why do you think Tampa got rid of him? When are the Saints going to wake up and realize they tried to get the guy from Houston, Deshaun Watson? They know he can't play. Why don't they get rid of him and put Andy Dalton there? Taysom Hill could do a better job than what Winston's doing. He is horrible. He's not a quarterback, period.
Big John, thanks for the phone call. Charles and Metairie, quickly. Go ahead, Charles. You're on WWL on our Oakenheart Jewelers talking text lines.
Good afternoon, guys. I just want to say what Big John just said. I agree with him 100%. I just want to also just make a comment. You know, for the people that were saying in the past they couldn't wait for Drew Brees to get out of here.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm sure they regret saying that now. Like, you know, you can't replace a Drew Brees and a Sean Payton just like that, and we're seeing that now. And like Big John said, we very well could be 0-3 right now. You know, probably should be 0-3, honestly, you know, the way we've been playing. But so anyways, I just want to say that. I mean, hopefully Andy Dalton starts this week because, you know, I just don't – we need a jump start with this offense. We can't be sleepwalking through 3.5 quarters, you know, and expect to win. So,
Charles, I agree with you. It's difficult, and I think we got spoiled. I think all of us did. But we said it more than one time. When number 9 walks out that building, and Peyton's not going to be here, it's going to be different. It's going to be totally different.
And it's different.
And again, people, they still got people that, you know, that blame everything on those two guys. No, you ought to be crediting them for what they did to get to this team to this point. Okay, you only got one Super Bowl title out of it. But my thing about it is, how many of Aaron Rodgers got in his pocket?
One.
Okay. And people look at Aaron Rodgers sort of in the same way as Drew Brees. Exact same way. Man, it's hard to win in this league. And it's hard to coach in this league and continually win. You're finding out just how hard it is.
He's Mike Dettillier. I'm Christian Garrick. We will step away and come back. Speaking of, former Saints quarterback Drew Brees will join the radio huddle here on WWL.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Going to link up with Saints quarterback Drew Brees here momentarily. Our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Lines is where we go. We find Greg the Fireman. Go ahead, Greg. You're on WWL.
Hey, Mike and Christian. I hope y'all are doing well. I have a question for you. The quarterback for Pearl River High School is a kid by the name of Austin Wadsworth. He can really spin it.
But, yeah.
I've seen him. On your radar?
Yes, he has.
Yeah, he can really play.
I've talked to a couple different
schools. So, like, you know, what's going on? I mean, has he what's the word on him?
I've talked to a couple different college coaches about him. I know he visited University of Louisiana at Lafayette last weekend. Oh, I think he's going this weekend. It's one of the two. But there are some schools after him. Man, he's a tall drink of water. But, boy, he can spin it. Greg, he can spin it. He's a good-looking kid, and he's physically maturing a little bit later in life. But he's going to have some colleges after him. And, I know that University of Louisiana, very, very interested in Greg. In Austin, excuse me.
Greg,
awesome,
thanks for the phone call.
Appreciate it,
Greg. Thank you.
All right, still waiting on Drew Brees, former Saints quarterback. Sorry, get that force of habit, Mike. So long. Saints quarterback. Now he's former Saints quarterback. Hard to think about. Smasher in Laplace on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text lines. Go ahead, Smasher. You're on WWL.
Hey, Preston. Hey, Mike. How y'all doing?
All right, Smasher. How you been, bud?
Everything's been everything. Been kind of crying my heart out at my hoodatch, man. But look, let me just state for the record. All right, I've been a Saints fan since George Rogers, okay? And playing Little League football, I wanted to be 38. So getting past that. A couple weeks ago, I tried to get on with y'all on my way home from work and couldn't make it. I wanted to first say that exchange that happened with the fight with Lattimore and them, based on what I saw, what should have happened, it should have been Lattimore and Fournette offsetting penalties, and then you do what you do with Evans. That way, you know what I'm saying? I think that would have been fair. Otherwise,
yeah, but Lattimore retaliated. Lattimore retaliated. He went back after getting shoved by Mike Evans.
Well, okay. So let me just move on from there because I want to get this one in. Jameis, I've been a supporter of Jameis since, you know, he took over and everything, and I like him. I felt like, you know, there's a reason he was drafted first overall.
That's correct.
But I cannot understand how, man, in the league 7-8 years, come to the line, seeing a parent blitz coming from the outside or anything, not audible in coverage, not coverages, but blocking assignments. Yo, it's coming right here. It's coming right here. Anything. He just drives back totally oblivious. Where is his awareness? I mean, on Madden, he must be like less than 60 on awareness and play recognition or something. I don't understand it. And right now, I'm a little perplexed because physically, you know, you could talk all the physical stuff you want. But being a quarterback is by all means a very heady position. You have to have the awareness of knowing who's everybody's job. You understand? And if you see it coming, I'd be damned if you don't call it out. Now, you know, I know you said we've been having struggles with our inside presence with the guards and center. I watched Andrews Pete whiff on something with a guy coming in and sacking Winston. You know, when it was clearly that was his man, I don't know what happened. Dude just blew right by me. He's turning around looking. That's like, as a running back, that's like one of the things that a serious pet peeve. You know, you're supposed to be blocking a dude. He beat you, and you standing up there at the line of scrimmage looking back, kick him in his ass. You know, that's the way I feel. But, hey, bro, I'm going to just listen what y'all got on that. But by all means, Winston has been there long enough to be able to see what's coming and say, hey, bro, shift the protection this way. Somebody stay in. Anything, but don't just drop back totally oblivious to somebody coming like you can't feel that fucking heat. Oh, excuse me, bro, and just, you know, taking the L like that. You know, I'm tired of it, man.
Smasher, I think you kind of talked the frustration with a lot of people feel. This team has no energy at all, none. You know, on both sides of the ball, now the defense has played pretty well overall. But, man, again, I'm going to go back to the Chauncey Garner Johnson thing. I think they screwed the pooch there. I don't understand. If you're going to trade somebody, you got to get value for it, and you didn't get nothing. You got nickels on the dollar for C.D. Deuce. But he was always a guy that had a lot of energy. On offense, they looking for some spark. And you write about it. Okay, you can go out of play calls if it's not right, or you change it. I think what you got with Jameis is he's almost like a quarterback that in that Bruce Arians system that, okay, he wants to hit the big play every time. And that's not going to be high percentage in this league. You got to be able to check it down to your running backs, to your tight ends, to your receivers underneath. And we've seen him miss that. Now, is that partially to the injury? I don't know. But you got to be able to have production at that position. I'm around quarterbacks all the time in all these camps, and they all tell you, if I don't get it done, the next guy will. And I understand that playing quarterback, that I'm going to get pulled for the next guy. I think this week you're going to see what Andy Dalton can do, because I think they're going to put the baton in his hand.
Mike, the other thing is right now you want your quarterback to be able to get you as a play caller out of a bad play. And the Saints don't have that ability right now. He doesn't, at least to my knowledge, he doesn't look like he's doing a lot of audibling and changing the play from a run to a pass or a pass to a run.
Okay.
Doesn't seem like that.
10 years ago, you might have been able to get away with average quarterback play. Today, you got to have a stud at quarterback. I don't care how you cut it.
No, that's the way the NFL is.
The way the NFL is built. I've talked to Rick Venturi numerous times. Like he said, Mike, when I was coaching, you didn't necessarily have to have the great quarterback. A Trent Dilfer could have won you a championship with a great defense, and he did. We saw Nick Foles kind of hit lightning in a bottle after Carson Wentz had, basically you could say, he was going to win the MVP, and then he got hurt, and then Foles comes in and they win everything. But that's kind of a lightning strike. To do that. And because what Brady's done has just been unbelievable. But everybody else, man, it's hard to win. But it's really hard to win if you don't have a great quarterback. I'll be honest with you. You got to have that guy that can turn the engine over on the car consistently.
All right, we'll step away and come back and try to connect with former Saints quarterback Drew Brees. He's Mike Dettillier. I'm Christian Garrick. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, Mike Dettillier, Christian Garrick here. We welcome in now former Saints quarterback Drew Brees. Drew, how are you? It's been a while.
Yeah, I'm doing great, guys. How you doing?
Good. So what are you up to these days? What you got going?
Man, I'm coaching ball. I'm coaching my kids. I'm actually about to coach Callen in flag football right now, so I'm getting ready for that practice. Got the ball plays ready. Got the drills ready. Got a big game tomorrow night. Other than that, man, just enjoying life, enjoying being dad, and doing a lot of things on the business front and with philanthropy as well. So a lot going on.
Are you getting into any of the sports betting that's so popular?
Well, Yeah, I'm actually an ambassador for PointsBet, which actually just opened up in Louisiana. As I know, a lot of fans enjoy their sports bets and betting on games and kind of creating some kind of fun competitions. But yeah, that's now open and available in Louisiana. So I encourage everybody to download the PointsBet app if that's something that you feel like doing.
True. Well, one of the things that's changed so dramatically in the league today is how you practice. Preseason is taken. It's totally different. And we see it a little bit in how some of the offenses have reacted the past few weeks to start the season. I knew you always spent time after practice with players throwing the football. In the offseason, you would work with the receivers and tight ends and running backs and that sort of thing. But from a routine standpoint, to get in that timing, your thoughts on it when you first got into the league to how it is today and how that has changed so much?
Well, I say this. I mean, I see what you guys are saying, and I don't know what the statistics are saying about the points that are being scored right now in the first part of the season, but it feels like the defenses have had the edge.
Yes.
You know, it feels like offenses have been a bit stagnant or just not performing at the levels that maybe we're all used to. And look, preseason has changed, right? There's only three preseason games, and quite honestly, I don't think many starters play in the preseason anymore. Whereas when I first came in the league, and really up until, you know, maybe my last few years, we would always play in just about every preseason game except for the last one. In addition to that, the offseason has changed pretty significantly. We used to come in mid-March, and you'd have a good, you know, 3-4 months of practice and workouts, and there was just so much time on task, so that by the time you got to the season, I think execution was at, you know, a very high level because you just had the reps. Whereas now you look at the way that the offseason has been cut down, guys aren't playing in the preseason. It's just different. And I'd say offensively is where the execution is at a premium, where when you say, man, all 11 guys have to be on the same page and doing their job in order for a play to work or for a play to look the way it's supposed to look, it's a lot more true on the offensive side than it is, I think, the defensive side, you know. So I think that's what we're seeing. I think that's why we're seeing the numbers, you know, and the scoring lower right now than what we're used to. And I imagine that'll pick up as the season goes on, but you'd say the teams that, you know, are having advantage right now are maybe the ones that spend a little more time together or have a little more continuity and that kind of thing.
True. One of the things this offense has always been noted for, you know, with Sean and Pete Carmichael kind of setting it up along with you, was the fact of getting the football out to the running backs coming out the backfield. That was a hallmark, so to speak. If it was Deuce, if it was Reggie Bush, if it was Pierre Thomas, Darren Sproles, Mark Ingram, Kamara. And that part, even last year early on, wasn't quite there for this team, and it hasn't been there this year. Your thoughts on, man, Kamara as a receiver coming out the backfield? Because I know one thing. Man, if I'm a linebacker or a safety, man, he's scared the bejesus out of me if I got to cover him one-on-one downfield, because it's a mismatch. Every time I go up against him, he's that good of a receiver.
Yeah, I'd say it like this. You know, when I first came in the league, it was kind of a different era with running backs. You know, every team kind of had their premier running back that you wanted to try to give, you know, 28 to 30 carries a game. And I think that era is gone, right? I mean, when's the last time you saw a running back carry the ball that many times in a game?
Only the Titans do it.
Yeah, exactly, Derrick Henry. But I mean, those guys take a beating, right? And so you sit there and think to yourself, okay, well, if we can't hand it to him 30 times, he's still the best player on the field, right? And he's such a problem for the opposing defense. So how do we just get this guy as many touches as we can? And in fact, the passing game, I find that for a running back, is even better because now you're getting the ball to them in space where they're not having to deal with, you know, getting hit by defensive linemen and linebackers necessarily. It's now safeties and corners, right? So to me, that's where the game has evolved to, is you have this dynamic player like Kamara who you just want to put the ball in his hands as much as possible, right? You recognize you're not going to be able to hand him the ball 30 times. You may hand him the ball only 10 or 12 times. But let's find another 10 or 12 opportunities to get him the ball in space in the passing game, because good things happen when he does that, and it's a way to help him make it through an entire season.
Former Saints quarterback Drew Brees here on Sports Talk. And Drew, when you were playing, I think you handled all the calls, right? Mike and the defense, and even the line calls to a degree. What goes into that, if you can paint that picture for the audience?
Say that one more time.
I believe when you were here in New Orleans, you mic'd the coverage, or you mic'd the defense, and I believe made some line calls or adjusted the line calls. What goes into that? If you can paint the picture for the audience, what are you looking at when you do that?
Yeah, so it's communication is key, and on any given play, whether it's run or pass, there's communication with the offensive linemen as to, you know, who they're blocking. Based on the run scheme or in protection, who they're blocking, who they're sliding to. There's changes that you're going to make, you know, based on maybe the pressure that's coming, or you want to change the protection, or you want to change the play or change the route concept. There's plenty of that happens on a play-by-play basis. You know, there's times where you walk up to the ball and you've got, you know, two plays called or even possibly three plays called, that depending on the verbiage that you use, it may change the play, and everyone has to hear that, communicate it, and then be able to execute it. So yes, that's very much part of a high performing offense, because a play caller is not going to be able just to call the perfect play. In a lot of cases, what they're doing is they're calling a play, but giving the quarterback the option to get into a better play, or to, in most cases, get out of a bad play into a better play. And that's what is the difference between you being in maybe a third and short situation than a third and long situation, because, hey, we ended up running the ball into a really bad look. That's not the look that we want to run that play. We should have gotten into something different, and, you know, the result might have been different as well. So, yeah, that's what's great about our offense. And I wouldn't say every offense is like that. Some offenses are, call it and run it. We were always an offense that had the ability to change plays at the line of scrimmage, communicate, you know, line calls. And that was something that I think was always done by the quarterback, you know, in our system. That's where we evolved to. And I love that, because I think that was just part of my routine in stepping up to the ball was, hey, communicate who the Mike linebacker is or who we're going to block to. Or, we have the ability to change this protection and get it protected so we can push the ball down the field. But, yeah, that's something that I think has always been a hallmark of our offense.
Do you see call it and run it going on this year with the Saints offense?
I mean, it's a combination. I think it's always the offense is what it's always been as far as the scheme, as far as the run scheme and the pass concepts and such. And it's always very versatile. I mean, look, our offense has always been our inside zone game, our outside zone game. It's our play action, you know, shot opportunities. It's then our drop back game. And then we've always been, you know, pretty good at screens as well. But so much of it is about execution. It's what we talked about early on, with your first question, was just about the overall execution of, offensive football. And that is, you think about it like this. You know, you only get 10 to 12 series a game, right? So those are 10 to 12 scoring opportunities. Let's just call it 12. And if you're a high-performing offense, I think you're scoring on half of those. So six out of those 12 you're going to score on. And let's say that's half touchdowns and half field goals. Well, that's 30 points right there. If you score 30 points, you're probably top three in the league in scoring, right? So let's be more conservative and say – you want to score between 24 and 30 points a game. I mean, that's going to win you a lot of football games, especially when you've got, a top five defense on the other side. So I think that's how you break it down, is just say, all right, with these 12 series, this is what we need to accomplish. And if all of a sudden, you know, you're getting penalties or having unforced errors or lack of communication or something that's causing you to all of a sudden kill a drive, right? Put you in a third and long situation when it should have been a third and short situation. Your percentages of converting go way down. Now all of a sudden you're putting the ball as opposed to continuing the drive. That makes a lot of difference. It makes a huge difference.
True. We had on Monday night Rick Venturi, longtime NFL coach, and now he's a color analyst now for the Indianapolis Colts. And he's old enough, man. He remembers, doing game planning up against Fran Tarkenton and Steve Young. But he says, Mike, I really would like to ask Drew this question. So if you talk to him before I do, you got to ask him. He became really the catalyst for what we see today with a guy that's not ideal size at quarterback. And he said, Mike Vick scared the heck out of you when you played him because, man, he could run like a track sprinter out there on the field and create plays. But he said, just think of the guys like a Tua now in Miami or Kyler Murray out in Arizona. And he said, you can kind of go on and on with the guys that weren't the 6'3" guys, but Drew made it work. And he convinced other teams that, hey, listen, you don't have to be 6'3" or 6'4" to play in this league. And your thoughts on that, on you sort of because you play with a guy even shorter than you in Doug Flutie, who played a long time out in Canada, and then he played in the States also with the Bears and the Chargers. Your thoughts on that, because that didn't seem to be a measure with you. You just got it done and could throw through tight windows and finding an area to get the football. But at one time, that was the deal. Too short to play quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah. Look, about 98% of playing the quarterback position is between your ears.
Yep.
It's your ability to process the game. It's your ability to lead the huddle. It's your ability to make good, quick decisions. It's your ability to play with a lot of confidence, trust yourself and trust your receivers and those around you to, make plays, trust to throw it into tight windows. And that comes with a lot of practice. It comes with a lot of experience. And, I've been asked the question, I think more so recently than ever about, young quarterbacks and how much time it takes before, they become successful or how much time they should be given. Before a team is going to, kind of make a decision to stick with them or move on. You look at the situation with, Baker Mayfield, obviously being a first pick in the draft with Cleveland and, that all of a sudden he's no longer there and now he's with Carolina and Sam Darnold. And like you got all these scenarios where, half of these first round quarterbacks technically work out, but you ask yourself, man, what would have happened had they ended up somewhere else? Instead of, where they got drafted, or what happens if the team would have just stuck with them for one more year? Maybe they were just taking a little bit longer to develop than somebody else. Like, look, I got benched 3 times in San Diego, right? And then it was because of an injury that I ended up in New Orleans, right? Otherwise that never would have happened. And, that's what got me with Sean Payton and got in this offense and had a chance to be a part of the last 15 years there. Right. So, look, there's not an exact science other than I think there's a lot about just there's certain traits that come with quarterbacks, and they come in all different shapes and sizes. And you have this image as to maybe what this quarterback should look like in regards to his height or his size or his arm strength and that kind of thing. But in reality, that has very little to do with his ability to be successful. So much of his ability to be successful is what's between his ears and how he has developed during his early years, I would say. And, some of the best things that happened to me, honestly, was failure early in my career and getting benched and having to kind of fight through that adversity, work through that, and then ending up in a situation where I had a coach who believed in me and was willing to build this offense around my strengths. And then being with some incredible teammates and in a place like New Orleans where we had a chance to thrive. So I'm excited for Tua, and I'm excited to see his success right now, especially after the first 2 years. And
you know, the way that people were talking about him this offseason, you know? And honestly, that's probably a lot of what drove him and motivated him, you know? Because I think we all saw his performance in college and all felt like, man, there's no doubt this guy has all the tools, and he's not the biggest guy. He's certainly not he doesn't have the strongest arm. And yet, that's not what it takes to play this game at the highest level. And he certainly appears to be developing into a good quarterback.
Drew, you kind of had said in the past that you were kind of year to year from 2017 until you eventually retired after the 2020 season. How okay would you have been if the Saints had drafted Patrick Mahomes in 2017? Would that have bothered you?
Man, no. You know what? No, because I get it. You know, I understand the process. Look, I was there in the draft room when all that was happening. It was funny. I don't know if you guys know. I don't know if anybody knows the story. I just played in the Zurich Classic Pro-Am, and I came over to the Saints facility because it was the first day of the draft, first round, and we had the 10th or 11th pick, right? And I knew we loved Marshon Lattimore. You know, I knew that we had him graded really, really high, you know, as maybe like the third or fourth best player in the draft, and that was kind of the need for our team and felt like that was the guy we wanted to pick. But I knew Sean Payton loved Patrick Mahomes. I knew he felt like he just had some really unique traits that you just don't see very often. And naturally, me being towards the end of my career, hey, this is kind of the next guy, right? And let's, you know, had he been there at that pick and we would have had a chance to draft him, I think we would have taken him with me in the room, honest to God. And I would have looked at that with any type of animosity. I mean, of course, I would have said, man, it would have been great to get a DB to help out the defense. But at the same time, I also recognize the bigger picture, which the bigger picture is you have to plan for the future as well. And they don't know how much longer I'm going to be around or want to choose to play or be able to play at a high level. So I get it. Now, Patrick Mahomes would have had to come in and I wasn't going to let him beat me out. You know what I'm saying? I would have done what I did to all the rest of them along the way. But I also would have tried to be an incredible mentor to them. And because, again, I care so much about the organization that I care about the future after I'm gone. And I want it to be better than when I found it. I want them to continue to thrive and be successful. And if the organization and Sean Payton felt like that was the next guy to lead the team, then, man, that's great. I'm going to try to equip him with everything I got to be able to do that once I'm gone.
Drew, after the Nola no call, how much did you think about retirement? I mean, that was a devastating call, or no call, I should say.
Well, it's more so like this. Like, had we gone on and won the Super Bowl that year, I think it would have been hard not to retire. In other words, you know, man, how many people get to go out on top like that, right? It's pretty rare. And the way that season had come together in 2018, you know, I think that might have been a situation to retire. But at the same time, I know my mentality, and I know the way I'm wired. I also could have made the argument to myself, we got a pretty good team come back. Let's go win another one. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And then had we won in 19 and gone back-to-back, I might have said, man, nobody's won three in a row. Let's go do it. Right? So look, I say I might have retired, but chances are, I always had that number, that number 20 in my mind as far as playing 20 years. So I think I was set on that, even though I was just trying to stay more in the moment and just be year to year with my mentality.
Drew, what do you make of the Saints 1-2 start? What's the issues?
Yeah. Look, I think it's disappointing just because these, you know, three divisional games to kick off the season, you know, that's a bit unusual, right? By no means are we the team now that we're going to be, you know, mid-season or end of season. I think we're just going to progressively get better. I mean, look, we got some new pieces, you know, offensively and defensively, that, you know, if you're talking about just executing at the very highest level, you know, it just takes time. It takes time for all of that to come together.
I'm not deterred. I don't think anybody else should be. I think we've got a great team of leaders, and I think we've got guys that are going to continue to get better and better, and will be in midseason form, you know, quickly. But it is one of those things too, where, man, you don't want to start off in too big of a hole. You know, you want a fast start. You want to win. You want to get out ahead. I mean, you certainly don't want to be in a position where you feel like you're just kind of scratching and clawing to stay in the hunt. You know what I'm saying? I'm not deterred at all. I think we've got a great team, and I think it's only a matter of time.
Drew, how's the pickleball game?
Man, pickleball game's strong. It's strong right now. I don't think you want to mess with me.
Hey, Drew, I heard LeBron now wants to get involved. LeBron James.
Yeah. I'm an owner in Mad Drops Pickleball Club is the name of our club. We're one of 12 teams in Major League Pickleball, MLP, which is we have four members on each team. We hold an annual draft. This is what's unique about our pickleball league is each year we redraft. So right now we have two men, two women that represent our team. We have one more event this year. It's in Columbus, Ohio in October. And then we're actually in the process of adding four more teams. And so by this time, or, you know, by the start of next year, we're going to have 16 teams. And it looks like we're going to have six events next year. And basically the teams show up to a location and we play a bracket style double elimination tournament. We pair an amateur event and celebrity event along with our professional event. But, man, it's gaining a ton of steam. I think everybody, you know, obviously the sport is growing very, very quickly across all demographics, young, old. It doesn't matter. It's an extremely fun game, a very social game, a very interactive game, and something that anybody can play. I think that's why everybody loves it. And I think it's capturing kind of the attention of, you know, sponsors and, you know, networks wanting to kind of get in on the action as well, which is exciting. A lot of, you know, very successful business people and obviously celebrities and athletes, I think are pretty intrigued by the sport, not only to play it, but also to, you know, get in on the team ownership side. So yeah, it was just announced yesterday that LeBron James, Maverick Carter, their venture group, along with a few others have purchased one of those teams, one of those four expansion franchises. And we're just going to keep growing. But, yeah, this is it's been a lot of fun, and honestly, I think it's just the beginning.
Drew, we got about a minute left. Just tell us about your latest endeavor.
Yes, so I'm excited to be an ambassador for PointsBet, which actually just went live in Louisiana, and I encourage everybody to check it out. I know there's tons of Louisiana sports fan and sports fans, PointsBet's. Really thrilled to deliver its best-in-class user experience and market offerings across our sports space. And we're actually the only operator in the market to offer name a bet and live same-game parlays. So I encourage everybody to download the PointsBet app and see what we're all about and have fun cheering on the Saints, LSU Tigers, and all of our other local sports teams.
Former Saints quarterback Drew Brees. Drew, thank you so much for the time. We really
appreciate it. Thank you, Drew. Appreciate it.
You got it, guys. Thanks.
All right, you bet. Wow. Fascinating, Mike, there to hear him talk about at the line, the calls, and what goes into that. I mean, that was,
man, listen,
that
it's
was
like
entertainment.
It's like being a fighter pilot and you under fire and you got to make those decisions. And that's the best way it was put to me. And actually, former Miami Dolphin quarterback Bob Greasy told me that, you know, Brian's dad. He told me that that is what he would equate it to, trying to make those decisions in a split second based off what you've seen and experienced. And I think Drew put it exactly in that particular manner.
Mike, that's a wrap for your portion of the show, man.
Thanks a lot. I'll talk to you Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday and then bright and early on Sunday as the Saints kick off in London.
I'll be ready.
I know you will. I know you will. Mike, have a safe trip home, all right?
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it, Christian.
All right, coming up next hour, Brandon Lang and also Herb Tyler, former LSU quarterback. So plenty to come here. 2 hours down, one more to go. And then we'll hand it off to Thursday Night Football between Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals. They're hosting Tua Tagovailoa, 3-0 Dolphins going to Cincinnati on Thursday Night Football. This is Sports Talk here on WWL.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.